for you are good. What a wonderful maker.
Good morning and welcome to First Baptist. We are delighted to see you this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day. Welcome, and a special welcome to those who are watching on Facebook or listening by radio. We are delighted that you are joining us this morning. We do have a couple of announcements for you tonight at 6 p.m. Our children and youth will meet, and they are having chicken and dumplings for their dinner, so they will not want to miss. Pastor Kevin is hard at work. A Monday evening Bible study at 5:30. It is here in person, also on Facebook or on the website, so please make plans to tune in for that. On Tuesday, our paper pals will meet at 10 a.m., and then on Wednesday, there will be no prayer meeting, but we do have our Ash Wednesday service at 6:30, and then the choir will meet immediately following the service. So a little change to Wednesday, but we hope you will join us at 6:30 for the Ash Wednesday service. And then, I reminded you about this last week, but we do have a fundraiser for our children and youth as they prepare for summer camp, and so you're able to purchase chili prepared by our own chef, Pastor Kevin. It will be $10 a quart, and you can call the church office and place your order, and then they will be available for pickup on Sunday, March the 12th. And so just call the office or email Miss Barbara and take care of that. Again, we welcome you this morning. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. Welcome here at First Baptist Church. We welcome those with us online and those with radio, those visiting this morning. Welcome. So last Sunday, I don't know if you guys noticed it or not, but I had a huge mistake on my first slide. Now, I try really hard to catch all the typos, and as poor as I am in English, and I know some of our folks here are English teachers, I really try hard not to mess up. Well, when we got home from church, Linda says to me, you know, after this morning, they might just throw you off the school board. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, and so she brings up the service online, and she says, look. Yeah, that really says Christian discipline, does it not? And you know what the kicker is? My mother-in-law, who Linda's mom, who's she's passed away in 2015, guess what her name is? Christine. So that wasn't that. So I just can't stand spell check sometimes. So I sat there and I said, you know what, I got to share this with the church, because I know some of you noticed it, and I'm sure some of you didn't. But anyways, we should all be able to laugh at ourselves, right? So I continue to try to do better. And as we start this morning, let me just give you a couple updates. One, Patty and I chatted yesterday, and she and Jeff just want to continue to thank you all for all of your prayers and all of your support. I hope you saw Jacob actually put something out online this week about all the events that has happened to him in his body, and he's still healing. And Patty just wanted me to say the best thing that we can do and continue to do right now is to just keep them in prayer. You know, yesterday probably was his best day since 2 weeks ago, but he has a long, long road to go, and just still some unanswered questions on where to do rehab, when to start rehab, and things of that nature. So she said, just let the church know right now, just continue praying for them is the very best thing we can do for them. And as you know, we prayed for Joe last week, and there he is. And so we are thankful you are here this morning. He's not out of the woods. They found a clot behind his heart, and they couldn't do the ablation. So there's still things pending with him and with the family that they're looking at down the road. So let's continue to keep them in prayer, as well as many others. As we know, things are going on in people's lives and surgeries, and just need prayer. And that's the most powerful thing we can do is to pray. And we'll look at some of that later this morning as we finish the book of Hebrews. And so with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we can't thank you enough for your goodness. Your goodness is not dependent on life circumstances. It's not dependent on the trials that we find ourselves in. But we see it and receive it and grab hold of it in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for that as we are beginning this week, that 40-day journey that takes us to Resurrection Sunday and the events we have to travel through, what Christ traveled through with his death on the cross. We just pray that each and every moment of each and every day we remind ourselves of the blessings we receive from you, which is more than any of us deserve. And we just praise you so much through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Would you stand with me, please?
Abroad, we magnify thy mission.
Thank you. Please be seated. Children, you may come forward.
Are we ready? We're good to go, I think. Anyway, I'm loud now, so I can talk louder. No problem. Children, what we're going to be talking about this morning is change. A lot of things change. Can you think of something that changes? What happens to the leaves? They change color. That's right. And what's coming up right now? Have y'all noticed anything coming out of the ground? Have you seen anything? Huh? Yeah, the grass is getting green. Okay, some of it is. And also, has anybody seen these little teeny flowers? What happened to the clock? I have nobody to pick on this morning. Okay. Did I pick on them too much?
I don't know where they are.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Okay. Well, anyway, these little crocuses things, these little purple things, they're all over our yard. And then jonquils, and then the forsythia aren't coming, but they're coming. So change is coming, and that's what we're talking about this morning is change. I want to show you some pictures, okay? And when you look at the pictures, I want you to tell me if you know, I think you'll know what they all are. Maybe one you won't, but you'll know at least three of them. I think you'll know what they are. And then you tell me how it's changed, okay? Ready? So we're going to see the first one, first slide. Okay, what is that? It's a phone. But does it look like the phone you use now? Yeah, it's an ancient one. Well, I have to tell you this. I don't want to break any news to you. But when I was young, we lived on an island, and we had a phone, and this was modern because the phone we had didn't have a dial. This was big stuff when you got a dial. But you picked up the phone, and you got to operate it, and she said, "Number, please." And that's, and you just told her whatever the number was, and it was four digits. And my number was 4392. Still remember it. And I'm 80 years old, but I remember that number. It was a big deal. And we had a party line. Do you know what a party line is? There were three other people, and sometimes I was so naughty, I would pick up the receiver, and I put my finger on the button. You had to put your finger on the button, and then ease it off, and I'd listen, and I got caught at it. So only did it once, but I was very naughty, and my mother fixed it permanently. She fixed it. I didn't ever do that again. So we're talking about, now could we please see the second picture?
Oh, an ancient car.
An ancient car. That is definitely an ancient car. You know what it's called? It's called a Model T. I don't remember what year it was. Now that was before me, thankfully. But that's an old car. Now I don't know if you can see, but you see where the yellow tag is?
Yep.
If you could see it clearly, there is a, and you might be able to see it, but there's a metal thing that comes out. It comes out like this and goes down, and that's how you crank that baby. Yeah, I know. I'm getting some funny looks here. But anybody here? No, I'm probably not. But anyway, you crank it like this, and my daddy told me if you weren't really careful, it would turn around on you and break your arm. So when you twisted it, you got it so tight and ready to crank that baby, you let go of it, because if you didn't, there goes your arm. Okay, so can we see the next picture, please? Okay, now anybody, what do you think that is? What? Brilliant. Okay, Byron, you're a smart kid. That is a computer in 1944, weighed about 5 tons. That's an elephant sitting on your lap. And now you have a laptop, right? But can you imagine? And they had to keep it cool. That was the thing. But it is 50 feet long. Pastor, about how wide is this church? Anybody have an idea? What's 50 feet? Is 50 feet, is this, honey, you know that stuff. Is this 50 feet? Close. Okay, so can you imagine your computer that big? You couldn't have one in your house.
An ancient computer.
An ancient computer, exactly right. Okay, now here's the last one. Okay, what is that?
Ancient stove.
Ancient stove. And all this is ancient? Okay, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think that hole is where you put wood into that thing. I don't know, but now what do we use instead of that?
Natural gas,
but what else do we use? What other kind of stove? Electric stove, what else? Come on. What do you stick it in there? Just going to heat up your coffee or heat up your drink, your cup? Huh? Perfect. Genius. Microwave. We don't want to wait 10 minutes or 5 minutes or even a minute. We can do it in 30 seconds. We're going to, right? So you see all the changes that we have. But you know what? Jesus never changes. This is what the scripture is. Can we see the scripture, please? Okay. The scripture says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and what? And forever. Not for tomorrow. It's not just a 3-day deal. It's forever, eternity. And he says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And I just wanted to talk to you about Jesus and some of the things that don't change. Jesus never tells a lie because Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So if you want to know what true is, this is the truth. This is what the Bible says, that the Word of God is true. And the Word of God never fades. It never goes away. And do you know that God knows everything? Did you know that? Do you think he knows what you're thinking? Mm-hmm. And do you think he knows where you're going? Mm-hmm. I've had 5 kids, and sometimes they would tell me they're going somewhere. And guess what? I almost always would find out that they went there briefly, and then they went somewhere else. But God knew where they were, and when I found out about it, they say, how do you always know? Well, see, grandmothers and mothers don't always know, but God always knows where you are. And you know what? He knows what worries you. He knows what makes you anxious or afraid. Did you know that? He knows if you're afraid, and it's okay to tell him about it. Talk to him about it. He's always faithful. This is what 2 Timothy says. If we are faithless, in other words, if we don't have faith, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So even the Bible says while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Well, sometimes we think we have to get good to come to God, but it's the other way around. You come to God and he'll change you. The Holy Spirit's job is to make you like Christ. One of my favorite scriptures is Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Does it mean it'll always be easy? Nope. Nope. You'll go through some testing, but Jesus never tempts you. He doesn't tempt with evil. God doesn't do that. But he may test you. You might go through some hard times, but even through the hard times, he's holding your hand. He's right there with you. He's faithful. And then the last 2 things I want to tell you is that his purpose has not changed. God's purpose is to make sure that you're seated at a table with him for the banquet that he's going to have in heaven. There'll be a wedding feast, and he wants you there. And that's not changed. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody, no matter what color, what size, what age, he wants everybody to come. And you know what? You kids have a real influence in school because you can talk to your peers, the kids that are your age, whereas that, you know, they don't want to talk to somebody that's got gray hair that's got wrinkles all over. No. But they would listen to you because you're their age. Do you get that? Understand that? Okay. So don't be hesitant. If you have a friend, tell your friend about Jesus. And for you older people, tell your neighbors. The plan has not changed. He says, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and I'm with you, lo, always until even the end of the age. And the plan has not changed. He's using us. Isn't that great that God includes us? And that we can be part of salvation for other people? That we can be the messenger? The message is his. Carrying it is our responsibility. Okay, so Jesus never changes. All this other stuff. And you know what is interesting? Right now what y'all think is the latest and the coolest stuff, by the time you get to be 50 years old, it will be old hat. And everybody, your kids will laugh at it, just like you laugh at this stuff. It's interesting. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that your love is everlasting. And we want to be a part of it, Lord. We want to be able to spread the love of Jesus, and we pray, God, that you would help us to do it. I ask your blessings upon this congregation, these people, and your congregation all over the world. I think about how early this morning in the Far East, people that were Christians started praising you, and it's like a wave or like a ripple all through the earth, all through the world. How it's from one thing to one time zone to the next, where people are lifting their hands in praise and thanksgiving to you. I ask your special blessing on these children, that you would keep your hand upon them and watch over them and give them encouragement. And Lord, we love you and we thank you and give you honor and praise in the holy and the precious name of the unchanging Jesus. Amen. Amen. Children, I have a treat here. That if you want a treat...
Would you stand with me, please?
Well, we've come to the last message here on the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 13. The title is Get Out of Our Comfort Zone. And what the writer is doing here in this chapter as he's bringing it to a close is to reminding them to the extent of what Jesus did for them so that they would remain dutiful and persevere in the faith. You see, Jesus left all creature comforts behind so that you and I would never have to be without his comfort. Scripture says that when Jesus came down to this earth to be born by Mary and took on physical flesh as a human being, it says that he became a slave. It was as if he was in that position of a slave by leaving his throne to come to earth, to be one of us, to die for us, to save us. Now think about that. Jesus is perfect. The Word of God that became flesh. He didn't sin. He didn't mess up. We were disobedient. We lost our faith and trust in God. We messed up. And God decided that I will die for my creation. You know, we have a God that has empathy, right? A God who knows what it's like to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes when he became one of us. Rather than just plain old sympathy where we feel sorry for somebody else's misfortunes. Let me ask you this morning, have you ever made yourself uncomfortable for the sake of someone else's comfort? You know, we live in a culture today that is soft. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to be in pain. We want to be in comfort. And yet, I ask us, have we ever gotten to a place to make ourselves uncomfortable? You know, I listened to Charles Barkley yesterday, made a comment about how soft the players are today in the NBA. How they don't like to play back-to-back games. How they don't like to travel. How they like to take days off. And they're making millions and millions and millions of dollars per year. And they don't have the grit or the fortitude the players had back when he played back in the 80s. I think it speaks of our culture as well. Let me ask you this. When have you left your comfort zone for the sake of the gospel? Because that is very much needed in our culture today. Folks, we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. We have to be willing to take a chance to be ridiculed or to be cussed out because we mentioned the name of Jesus. That maybe some friendships may turn because somebody doesn't want to hear about Jesus, but we know more than anybody that they need Jesus because we know how badly we needed Jesus. The author of Hebrews concludes his book by reminding the believers to the extent of what their king did on the cross. And so let's pick up chapter 13, beginning with verse 7. Remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. But please do not imitate my spelling or my grammar. He goes on the same verse 8 as we just heard earlier. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, I've been reading the Bible this year chronologically, and so this past week I found myself in Leviticus. And the last several days, chapters 15 through 21. And let me just say emphatically and clearly that there is no question or confusion from God's perspective in the area of sexuality. You want to know what God feels on the subject? Just read Leviticus for a few chapters there that I just mentioned. God is very clear on what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. He doesn't change. Which means that when God created the world and everything in it, and told Adam and Eve, you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can't eat of the tree of life. You must stay away from those two trees. God already knew. Everything that we read in the Bible was already in place. It just wasn't written down yet. Because God is the same. Forever and ever and ever into eternity. And so we must remind ourselves that, because we do not have the luxury of reinterpreting and changing what the Bible means. We are called to wrestle with the Scriptures, to wrestle with the Word of God, especially in the places we don't like or we find difficult. But we do not have the right to change the Word of God, because God remains the same into eternity. Verse 9 says, "Don't be led astray by various kinds of strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by foods, since those involved in them have not benefited." So I want to remind you more than ever today is these teachings that are coming out as Christian but are not biblical. So where do they come from? As you heard with the kids this morning, the Scriptures are true. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and in me I am life." And so anything that we measure must be measured against the Word of God to see if it is of God or not. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle do not have a right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest as a sin offering are burned outside the camp. We'll get more to this in a minute. Therefore, verse 12, Jesus also suffered outside the gate so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. For we do not have an enduring city here. Instead, we seek the one to come. Therefore, through him, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips. Confess his name. Don't neglect to do good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. Let's go back and let's look a little deeper into these scriptures. In 11 through 13, we get a sense of to the extent of what Jesus did for us. And this writer is trying to let this group of persecuted Christians understand what Jesus did for them so that they would remain faithful and persevere. The bodies of the animals whose blood is brought into the most holy place by the high priest, the sin offering, they're burned outside the camp. And so, again, when you read Exodus, when you read Leviticus, man, it goes into such detail about all these different offerings, about how these animals are supposed to be killed, how their blood is supposed to be sprinkled, how they're supposed to be cooked, and who can do it, and when they can do it, and what is deemed clean, and what is deemed unclean. And so you understand that for the sacrifice of a sin offering, the animal had to be burned outside of the city. Could not be killed or burned in the city. It had to be outside of the city. As you see here, outside of the camp. If it wasn't, it would be considered unclean. And then those who did that, there would be penalties for it, including death. This is how serious God is with the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. All right, so that sets the stage in verse 11. Now look at verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also suffered, notice this, outside the gate, so that he might sanctify the people by his own blood. He was killed outside of the city, which we observe on Good Friday. And then in verse 13, let us then go to him where? Outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. In verse 12, there outside the gate implies the rejection of Jesus by the Jews. Jesus was condemned a criminal. He was rejected by his own people, and he was killed outside of the city like they do with the animals killed for the sin offering. So remember, Jesus is our sin offering for all of us, past, present, and future. And so he was killed in the same manner in which they would kill the animals for a sin offering outside of the gate. The scripture says that Jesus actually went to Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And he was next to, when he was placed out there to be crucified, he's next to a place that's called Gehenna, which which I'm sure some of you have heard before. And this was a place of a valley known for its paying practices, later referred to as hell, or the lake of fire. Place of hell. All the atrocities and obscenities that go on by the pagans were doing all those things that are not of God. And then this was right next to where Jesus was crucified on Golgotha. We read in Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, "But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Whoever says to his brother, 'Fool,' will be subject to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, 'You moron,' will be subject to hellfire." This is in reference to this very place next to where Jesus was crucified. In Matthew 18, verse 9, Jesus says again, "If your eye causes your downfall, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye rather than to have two eyes and be thrown into hellfire." Jesus going outside of the gate bears a much deeper significance when we remember where Israel camped during the wilderness, where it was considered holy. But outside of the camp was considered unholy. Jesus was willing to make himself unclean, to go outside of the camp, to be slaughtered like any other animal slaughtered for a sin offering. And do you know, at the time of his crucifixion and the time of his death was at the same time the Jews were slaughtering the animal as well, at the same time Jesus. Jesus made himself unclean so that we may be clean. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, this is how he describes it. He says, "From now on, we do not know anyone in a purely human way. Even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come." I want to encourage you this morning that when you come to Jesus Christ, you become a new creature. And yes, we struggle with all the old things of the past, but we don't have to stay there, and we don't have to keep there. You are a new creation. Unfortunately, at least for the last decade, for many faults, ministers have been preaching that you are not a new creation and that you don't have to change. They preach, come as you are, but stay as you are. We see in the scriptures that is absolutely not true. Jesus died so we become new creations. The old is gone. The old heaven, thanks be to God, is gone. Because that old heaven can't go into eternity with Jesus. Because I'd still be in my sins. I'd be unholy, unclean. And Jesus died to make me clean. To make you clean. Don't buy into the lie and the deception that you can come as you are and there's no need of repentance. That is a flat out lie. And if we get into the scriptures will share with you exactly what is true. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, "Everything is from God," notice this, "who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That means you and I have a ministry we are responsible for, and that is to reconcile the lost with Christ. And that is why we have to get out of our comfort zone and share Jesus more than ever. You know, me and Jaron were talking earlier in this weekend about what's going on in Asbury. My prayer is, man, I hope that is real and that is a movement of the Holy Spirit and that people are repenting and people are getting saved. And just maybe it will be a ripple effect that will move across this country and we'll see a change from a godless culture to now a culture that's all about God. That's the only thing that's going to save America. It's the only thing that's going to save Europe. Both have been going down a downward spiral farther and farther in the rejection of our Lord and Savior. But God, anything is possible. And he's given us, the church, this ministry of reconciliation. He says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us, thanks be to God. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And in verse 21, he says, he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made the one who did not know sin to become. When Jesus cried out, we're going to read it in a minute, when he cried out on the cross about the separation and the forsakenness of the Father, it was at that moment that the sin of the world, past, present, and future, collided on Jesus Christ. That's what he did for us, so that we wouldn't have to take it. If you did not realize, this death that Jesus was humiliated was so degrading. Think about that. The Lamb of God, the Son of God, God himself, up on that cross for you and for me. Humiliating. We read about this gruesome death in Matthew 27. And we'll read more about it, too, during this Lenten season, and certainly when we get to Holy Week. But notice the beginning of verse 5. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. Complete darkness, like you would be at midnight. Came over the entire land, right before Jesus gave up his spirit. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? From that one moment in our history, that one moment forever for Jesus, he was separated from the Father because of our sins. Humiliating crucifixion on the cross. Degrading. They were spitting and mocking him. And he cries this out right before he gives up his spirit. When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, fixed it on a reed, and offered him a drink. But the rest said, let's see if Elijah comes to save him. Again, still jeering, still mocking. If they had only realized. Jesus shouted again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Suddenly, the curtain of the sanctuary was split in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. Look at this. The rocks were split. Imagine that. Darkness, earthquake, temples torn, rocks are splitting at the death of our Lord and Savior. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had gone to the rest were raised. So if there's any question what happens to us when we die, if you're a Christian, let me tell you, you do not sit in the earth until the rapture. You go to be with your Lord and Savior. Right here is also proof of that. And they came out of the tombs after his resurrection, entered the holy city, and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they were terrified and said, this man really was God's son. Let me ask you, what does this tell us about Jesus and his humility? What did this tell us about getting out of our comfort zone, willing to go and share about this Jesus who died for us? Because Jesus took our shame outside the city gates, so we should go out and proclaim his name. In verse 13, let me read it to you again. Let us go to him outside the camp, bearing his disgrace. So what does that mean for us? That means leaving this camp. It's safe in here. But out there, when we talk about Jesus, not so much. Let us go outside this church And to bear his disgrace, the scripture says, means that we're going to go out and talk about him and share our relationship that we have with him. To let people know who don't have him how much they need him, because we tell them how much we needed him. Hebrews 13:13. We have to go outside the camp bearing his disgrace. That's the ministry of reconciliation that Paul talks about. In verse 14, it says, we don't have an enduring city here. We seek the one to come. As also we know the scriptures say, once you say yes to Jesus, this world and this earth is no longer our home. Oh yes, we care for it. But our home is waiting for us. We're no longer citizens here. We're now adopted sons and daughters into the kingdom of Almighty God. And let me say this to you as we close this morning. When eternity becomes a reality for us, and what I mean by that is when we know we're saved and we know we have eternity, that God has placed it in the hearts of every person, and we know for certain, we will be with the Lord forever in eternity. When that eternity becomes a reality, not just a hope, but a reality, we are able then to suffer for the sake of Christ in this heavenly kingdom, because we know this isn't it. But we have to make sure that eternity is a reality so we can go share him. He finishes this section in verses 15 and 16, and let me just share this one more time. Therefore, through him, let us, look at this, continually, don't stop, offer up to God a sacrifice of praise that is the fruit of our lips that confess his name. A sacrifice. A living sacrifice. To continually what? Offer up a sacrifice of praise. That means we have to get out of our comfort zone and from the lips of our mouths confess his name. And he concludes in verse 16 with this: don't neglect to do good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices. But it's not sharing a meal. It's not sharing money. It's not putting somebody up in a hotel room. It's not filling a tank of gas. The sharing this is referring to is linked with sacrifice. And the sacrifice is linked in the verse before to what? The fruit of our lips that confesses his name as Lord and Savior. Do you see that? What good is helping somebody if we don't give them Jesus in the midst of helping them physically? We've done nothing for their eternity. And that means, do we even believe? If we believe, we will share. And we have a culture that needs Jesus more than ever. More than ever. We should be willing to leave our comfort zone to deliver the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. Let us pray. Father, I praise you this morning. I praise you for the book of Hebrews. I praise you for this writer, whom we do not know who exactly it is, but one who loved his Christian community. One who gave them words of encouragement and hope to persevere as they were in the middle of such persecution. Father, let us not be upset with those who may not believe, or those who make fun of, or those who degrade Christ, or let us pray for them. Let us be willing to share with them. Oh, how we share the things of this world so readily. May we share Christ just as much. We praise you this morning and thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning to come forward for prayer if you would like, to join our church if you would like, or if you have not accepted Christ, to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please stand for our closing hymn. I believe I followed in your footsteps, as often we told our mom and dad, my brother and I were going. And then we went somewhere else, and she always found out, always. As we go, it's great to be here. Thank you for being with us. May we go and share Christ, the brokenness of our lives and his brokenness merged together on that beautiful cross so that we may have eternity with him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.